ready?
We are.
Let's get on the record. Okay, this is Chairman Brad Holton. I'm going to bring the meeting to order. We have an agenda here somewhere. We have a 1:30 agenda to meet with Treasurer's Office. And this would be concerning a updating of the investment policy. So we've met with this once, I believe, middle April or something like that.
Correct.
And so this is a follow-up meeting to go over any of the other details that we'd like to discuss. So with that, I'll hand it over to the treasurer.
Good morning, or good afternoon, commissioners. I'd like to reintroduce Chris Bateman. He's with TVI, which is also known as Time Value Investments. Chris has worked closely with our county regarding our investment portfolio and has been a valuable resource to our office for several years. He's assisted us in developing and updating the investment policy that we have before you today and brings extensive experience with public entities throughout Idaho and other states. Chris has also taught investment policy workshops and trainings, and we greatly appreciate him taking the time to be here. He'll be helping walk through the proposed updates and is available to answer any questions that you may have. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Chris.
Okay.
All right, and thank you for having me. The last time I was here, I think it was about 2 years ago, and I can't recall who was there, but I have to say I remember that meeting because I went home and about a week later ruptured my Achilles tendon. So there's a very specific Canyon County meeting that will hold a dear place in my heart for a long time.
Oh, man.
But in that meeting, we went over just basics of public funds investing. We talked a lot about bond laddering. Jennifer's right. I've talked a lot about investment policies over the years. The oldest investment policy I've ever seen was from the mid-1980s from a city in Colorado. And everyone comes to a point where they have to decide what they want to do with their policy. I was provided a copy of the, I'm not sure if you guys have it, but the 2013 policy versus proposed 2026 policy that just goes through a highlight of changes. You essentially have two different routes you can take when you're working on a policy like this. You can either start from scratch, or you can take what was in place and try to just make changes to it. So the route that the Treasurer's Office has decided to go is the latter. So it's to take the original policy and then make revisions to it. Now, I'd say most policies are generally similar for public funds investors. One of the nice things about having a workshop like this is we get to discuss your specific comfort level with certain topics. And the idea of the policy is that it memorializes those entities' risk tolerance and just how you want to handle certain scenarios going forward. So that while there might be turnover in different areas, the policy is supposed to be something that's a little more enduring, and then you can, revise it as you see fit. I think we have in the policy a requirement to review it at least every 3 years, or more frequently as appropriate. So I wanted to actually turn the time over to you, and make sure that we can make the best use of this time, and see where you want to start. There's a lot, the revised policy is about 5 pages long. One of the nicer things, and I'd say that's relatively short. I've seen policies that are as long as, in the 30s, as far as number of pages. The thing with a 30-page policy, though, is it's going to be really hard to actually apply, or I should say harder than a more concise policy. A lot of times people will just implement a policy that they copied from someone else without making any sort of changes to tailor it to your needs. And so, not that the number of pages is the benchmark for a great policy, but I'd say 5 is in a nice spot where it's easy enough to read and ensure compliance, while at the same time memorializing how you want to handle certain things. So with that being said, I will turn it over to you and see where you want to start and what sort of questions you have, and hopefully the experience that I have in working on policies over the years can be helpful to you.
I would be interested, Chris, in having or Tracy, either one, a red line addition. I'm looking at, because they're both 5 pages, there's both the same number of allowable or authorized suitable instruments. So I'm not really clear on where the changes are at that you've made in the new document that's been updated.
I did a comparison.
Okay.
Changes between the old and the new.
And I remember you handing that out. And did you, okay, right here. I don't have the right thing in front of me. So maybe, Chairman, that would, thank you for that. That would be just a good place to have Chris start and highlight there. That would provide transparency for the record. And unless Commissioner Brooks has a different idea.
Well, Mr. Chairman, my question was going to be, I don't think Chris was involved in drafting that particular document, was he? The differences between the 13 and the 26? That was you. Yeah.
Chris came up with this pulse.
Okay.
He came up with the proposed. He took our old and came up with this. And then I just drafted the comparison about what changed.
I would be good going through that. What changed?
What changed?
Yeah.
So our old policy did not have a table of contents, as you see in the new policy. So Chris added a table of contents. As you can see, it's much easier to read with the table of contents. So we added sections 1 through 9. I just listed the table of contents that were added. So we have a clear table of contents, number 1 through 10, and we modernized the format, added a county seal, and so that's what changed for that. So we added that. Sections, there were certain sections that didn't really change. The scope sections, so sections 1 and 2 didn't really change. So I listed that. And number 2, they really didn't change. A couple wordings may have changed. Would you agree to that, Chris?
That's for sure.
Yeah, I think so. I'm looking, I think a red line, I'm actually wondering if I have a red line. I think a red line would be fantastic, but yeah, I think that sounds about right.
We also added some additional Idaho codes, updated those on the bottom of the delegation of authority.
Which they were in, so that they might have been updated.
Yeah, they weren't listed on the original one back in 2013.
Yeah, right.
So they were updated. And then why it changed improves readability, transparency, and accessibility for both staff and auditors.
Okay.
So number 3, which is on page 2, the objectives. We changed what the priorities were and expanded them in more detailed objectives. Always safety remains first. The protection of principal addresses default failure and risk. Liquidity tied specifically to payroll and cash flow needs. Yield includes reference to diversification and communication with you, the commissioners. We added that in there. And we added explicit mention of laddering maturities to mitigate interest rate risk. We added the laddering in that. That wasn't in the old.
Okay. That's a good add.
And why we changed that aligns with best practice in public funds management, clarifies risk mitigation tools, reflects lessons from interest rate volatility since 2013. We saw that with COVID and everything, so we added that in there. Number 4, authorizing suitable investments. Our old policy followed Idaho Code 67-2010. It listed
U.S.
Oh. It listed U.S. Treasuries, bonds, farm credit obligations, et cetera. Our new policy still follows Idaho code, but the language has been updated for clarity and modern references. Retains all original categories, but it groups investment types in alphabetized subsections A through N, and stronger emphases on federal insured deposits and rating standards, which follows more what the Idaho code states specifically now versus in 2013.
Okay.
Number five, the old policy prohibited speculation, short-term trading, and compensation tied to performance. Our new policy, same, prohibition, but more clearly worded and formatted, highlights prohibition against county officials acting as fiduciaries in conflicts of interest.
So it states that, and
we change that because it provides clarity for staff and external partners and reduces legal and ethical ambiguity. So that's just that. And then credit quality and collateralization. The old policy, investments must be FDIC insured or collateralized, competitive, local investing encouraged. The terminology's changed since 2023. So the new policy, the explicit requirements must be a minimum of A or better credit rating from nationally recognized rating agency, and then it still continues to be FDIC, and the collateralization rules still apply. So we're just updating, we're basically just updating terminology since 2013 because it's changed. So, number seven, diversification. The old policy stated that guidance on staggering maturities, not more than 50% in one issuer or class. Our new policy, it retains that limit, but we expanded the language on avoiding concentration risk and portfolio laddering. And we have explicit examples with the U.S. Treasuries, agencies, LGIP, and money market funds. So we added, which we put explicit examples in there. And then number eight, for safekeeping and custody, the old policy, securities to be held in the county's treasurer's vault or by the third-party safekeeping institution. Our new policy, it retains the same principle but clarifies the responsibility of the treasurer versus custodian. We tighten the language for modern custodial standards. And that's because it's better alignment with auditing expectations and the state guidance.
Right. Chairman, can I ask a question?
Sure.
So would you clarify the difference between the treasurer and the custodian? I thought the treasurer was the custodian of the funds.
I think the differentiation is that the treasurer may not have it physically in her building, her office. A custodian is someone or entity that she chooses it to reside.
Right, it could be at ICCU. It could be
okay.
It could be the custodian where we have the funds, like we have a CD at ICCU or
okay.
A CD at
wherever.
And we also have safekeeping. Isn't that part of, wouldn't that be part of that, Chris? Under diversification, yeah. Have a safekeeping company that also
yes.
Handles all of our investments.
Okay,
yes, exactly.
So Chris, can you use safekeeping institution and custodian interchangeably?
It depends how much of a terminology snob you are, technically. But I think colloquially, most people interchange those. I'm sure there's some fine differences. When people are talking about it, usually we're just talking about wherever the investments are being held, and a lot of times people are refer to that as safekeeping. Sometimes we'll refer to that as the custodian. And then what makes it a little weird too is the sometimes the statutes will also reference exactly what you reference, which is, well, I thought the treasurer is supposed to be the custodian. But in the industry, most people would refer to the custodian as the wherever the investments are being held.
Okay.
That's
Thank
great,
you.
Great question.
Thanks, Chris.
And then number 9, ethics and conflict of interest, the old policy, general statements, staff.
It just said staff must avoid conflicts. The new policy, we expanded the language and said employees must avoid even the appearance of conflict. And clearer standards of we added clearer standards of conduct and accountability. And why we change that, it increases public trust, aligns with countywide ethics expectations. So we just updated the language a little bit to make it sound a little better and update it with current standards. And then number 10, policy review. The old policy required review every 3 years or more often as needed. The new policy, same requirement, but modernized the formatting a little bit. And then why we changed it, it just reaffirms accountability.
Okay.
Everything updated. Okay.
So it's, Chairman, if I could, it sounds like it's a lot of it's semantics, but maybe I'll look at Chris or the treasurer. The substantive changes throughout this document look like they're found in number 6 with an explicit requirement of a minimum of an A credit rating or better, and then expanded language on avoiding risk concentration in your portfolio laddering. That would seem like a good move. I guess I'm looking for feedback on a yay or a nay.
I'm looking at the old policy, and I don't know, so I'm checking my many screens over here. It looks like the old policy actually had an A rating requirement. A lot of times it's fine-tuning some of the language. So the old policy, for instance, says, at the time of purchase, all acceptable financial instruments must have a credit rating of A or better. And now it says, at the time of purchase, all applicable financial instruments. Applicable, I think, is a better word there, because acceptable is a little unclear. And there's some investments for which we don't really care because there's a credit rating. Like, for instance, if there's an investment, if there's a government agency that is expressly backed, directly backed by the United States government, by the U.S. Treasury, but doesn't have an A credit rating, it will technically have a better credit quality than a different government agency because it's directly backed by the U.S. Treasury.
Okay.
A lot of it, I think, is there's the semantics and kind of updating some words, but I think ideally over time, as people become more familiar with investing and they're getting a little more more active with their own portfolio, you can change some of the words as you come to understand them better. You know, what does it mean to diversify? Like, we added something in here about laddering. You know, so the safety, liquidity, yield, that those objectives for public funds investing, as far as I know, have not changed, and I don't think they ever will change. Safety, liquidity, and yield, but we expanded on what does it mean to be safe, and then added something in there about laddering. Because a lot of times when we're talking about safety, in a lot of boards that I present to, they'll say, well, we're really conservative. We're talking about public funds. And of course, you know, we should be conservative. We don't want to lose principal. But when people think about, risk, they think, well, I'm going to be really safe with who I choose to loan our public funds to. And they say loan our public funds to because that's really what you're doing when you buy a bond or buy the sorts of investments that we're using for public funds. Is you're making loans. And so from a risk standpoint, you absolutely want to control that. State code already, you know, they draw a line in the investment world and they say, you can't invest in Tesla stock, or Bitcoin or these other things. You have to stay with what's in code. And then sometimes an entity will take that list from the state and then fine-tune it a little bit. That's usually not there's usually not a ton of debate over that. But probably a more practical risk would be if all your investments are short-term versus long-term. Because if all your investments are short-term and rates go down, which of course we can't control, then a lot of your portfolio, you know, in this hypothetical, all of your portfolio would be reinvested at whatever those new lower rates are if rates go down. You know, and so, and the flip side is true if all your investments are really long. So when I think about diversification, I think it's really helpful to have something in here about laddering and making sure that we're spreading out the length of the investments, because we don't know what rates are going to be like in 2029. If they're good, we want to have something that can be reinvested at that time. And if they're bad, we don't want to have all of our portfolio mature at that point in time. But a lot of times, policy is that people just they want to talk more about, well, let's not loan money over here, kind of the obvious stuff, but as a practical matter, the spreading out the length of the investments tends to have a really big impact on your overall earnings. So that part, I'd say, rises above the semantic threshold and is more substantive. It's also, I want to say it's more of an art than a science, a general, but it's memorializing the idea that we should be spreading out the length. So if you had 60% of your portfolio that matured in the 2 to 3 year time frame, then that should raise a red flag. Say, wait a minute, our policy says we should be laddering, whereas previously it wasn't there. What I like to say is that you want to have the lengths between, generally most of the investing is going to be done between 0 and 5 years. Most of it, not all of it, but most of it. So generally you want to have those different time periods fairly even. And what trumps that, of course, is if you have cash flow needs. So if you had like a project or something coming up where you needed to have money come back at a certain time, then absolutely that would take priority over that. But I think that was one of the bigger things that I saw working through it. And the beauty of it, too, is if we're using the policy, a lot of times there will be maybe a pressure point, and so we'll be working under the new policy, or whatever the policy is, we're working under it, and then we can take notes as we're going through, and then maybe 6 months from now, or a year from now, or whenever you review it again, you can say, hey, I really noticed that this was a hindrance, or this was really good, and you can continue to tweak it. So in a perfect world, I know there's a lot of stuff to do, a lot of different priorities, but I think in a perfect world, it's something that evolves over time, and then not a ton, but maybe you make some tweaks. And I just want to set realistic expectations that it doesn't have to be the perfect ideal policy. I'm not sure that really exists, but that it is, the policy itself envisions that it can be changed, it should be changed as your situation changes and things of that nature.
Chairman, can I follow up? So Chris, thanks for that explanation. The question I have for you now is that we've been with the same investment company for a number of years. Yeah. And so with that, historically, you were able to evaluate maybe that period during COVID where we had some longer term investments with a low interest rate return. And so are you saying that laddering would keep us from being in that situation again, where we really, it wasn't advantageous to buy out those investments? It just felt like we were almost in a no-win with those low rate returns.
Yeah, I'd say so. A couple different things. I'd say the county uses several different investment firms, to actually acquire the investments. And so different treasurers are going to have different opinions, just like we all do, on what they should be doing with their funds. The idea with laddering is that it's designed to weather the ups and the downs. It sounds kind of weird to weather the ups, but that's also how you weather the downs. During COVID, the 5-year U.S. Treasury rate got as low as 0.19%, which is extremely low. And a lot of that was, obviously now we just say COVID. COVID's the reason. Really, it was the Federal Reserve put out its own projections that they were going to keep the federal funds rate at zero for several years. And so it drove those longer-term rates down. And money market rates, were also extremely low. And so investors were faced with the decision of, you know, do we invest in a bond at 0.5%, or do we keep our money in cash, you know, earning 0.2%, let's say, and maybe 0.2% was generous, because I think at one point the 1 year rate was 0.04%. Now, your total exposure to that, you know, how much of your portfolio actually got exposed to that, is a direct byproduct of laddering, right? So if let's go back even further. Let's say in 2018, your entire portfolio was only 2 year investments. Then the entire portfolio would have been reinvested in 2020. Whereas if you had a ladder, you basically had a cap, right? You'd say, well, approximately 15 to 20% of our portfolio is going to face whatever these low rates are. So you can take steps ahead of time, just like the county's taking steps now by buying investments at 4%, so that if rates ever go back down to their more typical levels around 2%, you know, you'll benefit from having those higher yielding investments that were added when rates were high.
Yeah.
So it's really just it's how you demonstrate that you're not speculating on what rates are going to do in the future. Hindsight is always 20/20. So looking back, yeah, we can say, well, you know, we would have done this or that. But that's, of course, with the benefit of hindsight, which we don't have that luxury. So just spreading it out, you know, very methodically. And that's why I know when I meet with the treasurer's office, we're looking at, that's the first thing we look at is, here's your current ladder. You know, and then we work from there and try to make it a little bit better.
Okay. Chairman, I have one more question.
Sure.
In your evaluation, it sounds like that you do national evaluations on investment portfolios. So you've mentioned that some of those are 30 pages long, which is a 25-page difference between what we're looking at. Is there anything of significance that we did not include that we should include, or what's the extra 25 pages full of?
That's a great question. You know, I'd say 30 pages is probably more of an outlier on the high end. You know, there's some of it depends on the state as well. So the authorized investment section is generally copied verbatim from whatever state code is. And so California, for instance, just has a much more extensive section. Alaska, on the other hand, has virtually nothing. And so Idaho's is on the shorter side. When I went through this, and again, the question is, do you start from scratch or do you take what you have and try to make it, try to fine tune it? And so it's roughly the same length. I wouldn't say there's anything that, you know, we're not missing pages of valuable investment guidance. I think the main things are absolutely here. And what you want to have is what are our objectives, safety, liquidity, yield, what sort of things can we invest in? Would you absolutely have that? You know, the sections that are here are really the core policies, or core what you would want in a policy. And I think there's two different suggestions I'd make too. I'd say the treasurer's office can absolutely ask its peers, you know, for what their policies are like, and then you can compare, here's our county versus, you know, five other counties or what have you. And then I can also send different policies if you want to compare some to other states. There's different places that you can look online, but I think with what you started with to where it is now, I think it's a lot easier to read and therefore a lot easier to comply with. And I think the addition of the express mention of laddering is probably one of the more practical upgrades to a policy, because it tends to have such an impact on earnings over an extended period of time.
Yeah. Okay. Chairman, I have just a comment for the record. So under the objectives for the return on investments, I think that that's an important note to remember, that when we're looking for a higher yield, especially when the revenues are short or you're limited by legislative actions, that return on investments is not as high a priority as safety of principal. So it's already been outlined in there, but venture capital, high risk, they tend to be higher yield, but they also could wipe out your nest egg, if you will, in a year where that did not perform well. So just, I don't know if you want to add to that, but.
That's not not something that we want to happen.
Yeah, it's, I think that a lot of us kind of assume that's the case, but you might be surprised. I mean, this just goes back to every treasurer, or if it's a city, it's maybe a finance director, has a different personality. For the same entity, I've had the finance director say, I want to buy corporate bonds because I like hamster yield. Still legal, but then I've had a different finance director come into the same city and say, I want nothing to do with corporate bonds because I cannot imagine standing in front of my board and explaining to them that we lost money. And it's the same entity, and it's just different. So I've never, it's not my job to come in and say, here's how much risk you should take, but instead, you know, like, here's the priorities, and I do really like that. I'm maybe biased for that language. That sounds like something I would write, but I think it's so important that we remember what our objectives are, right?
Yeah.
We always just say safety, liquidity, yield, but we just want to talk about yield. Say, oh, yeah, safety, liquidity, sure. But let's really talk about how we can squeeze an extra 20 basis points out of this.
Right.
But it really is. Safety absolutely should be number one.
Yep. Chairman, I keep coming up with questions I want to ask, but on the laddering portion of that, Chris, particularly in a year where you might have something unexpected, either a land acquisition or some kind of capital investment, that's a good opportunity long term. The ability to have liquidity in your portfolio with short term investments helps the treasurer and avoids penalties, is what I would imagine, on liquidating some of those assets to cash flow what it is that you're trying to do as an entity. So I'm glad that's in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we've been fortunate. We've had to cash in a few prior to their maturity, and we have not lost money on them yet.
Awesome. Yep.
So it's been a while since that's happened, so
yeah.
We like it that way. We want to keep it that way.
And we appreciate that.
Yes,
yeah.
Thank you.
All right. I was hoping for some kind of a wonderful statement that said it's foolish to buy 3-5-year bonds at 0.01% interest.
You didn't get
it's a little hard to, yeah. A little hard to write that into policy, but you know, when I came into office, there were several million dollars that were untouchable because those before me had chose to buy in several year bonds that were earning virtually nothing, and he could have earned all of the income that they gave from that bond in the first few months once the LIGP started back up. So it just seemed to me like I had made those decisions earlier in other political subdivision and made the decision not to buy the bonds because it didn't take much of the increase in interest to outperform those locked up monies.
So Chairman, can I ask you a question based on that? So are you saying that in your other political event that you created shorter term investments to avoid that so that you could reinvest at a higher rate, or how would you have avoided that scenario that you've described?
Well, we just left it in short term gain. We didn't sign up for 2.5-3 year bonds that locked the money up no matter what. You couldn't predict when the interest was going to start up, but you figured you were either going to be a comrade with somebody from the other side of the ocean, or the interest rates were going to start going back up and the economy was going to start back up. And so I just think that the short-term vision of buying long-term bearing bonds that don't produce hardly anything is utterly foolish. But I'm not the investment whiz that we have online, and so I have my opinion, and I only have one vote, and I will exercise that vote. Just because of my experience has been that I've never seen it really pay out for those entities to do that during that crunch time. And I understand. I was in leadership during COVID too, but it doesn't mean the sky's falling. The sky's falling to do something stupid that locks your money up for a long term.
So, Chairman, I have another question. Chris and Jennifer, I almost called you Tracy, Jennifer. It sounds like that you work together. Chris, what I heard you say is that it's not within your scope to assess the county on the level of risk that they should take, but you do work in tandem on the laddering, the length of time, what looks like a good investment. With all those screens there, Chris, looks like you've got your finger right on the pulse of what's happening and what would be a good investment for the county. Can you tell us a little bit about how that works?
So, like I mentioned earlier, so the county, and this is typical for public entities, I mean, you can work with a number of different brokers, you can hire an investment advisor if you wanted to have somebody come in and manage your money, and that generally is a little more active, where the investment advisor is going to be taking a more active role in overseeing everything. Generally comes with costs, of course. And we do both business models, by the way, so we can do that as well. With the brokerage platform, there's a lot more flexibility for the county to work with different investment firms, generally. And so the workflow is essentially the same every time there's an investment that matures. We'll look at what's happening in the market, we'll look at the current holdings, and then we'll look at different available investment options. The treasurer, of course, retains 100% control over the portfolio. And so if something happens or does not happen, there's no investment firm right now that has any sort of discretionary control over the portfolio. That being said, it's very much a, we're working together, I think, for the same goal, or toward the same goal, which is to have what I like to refer to as an objectively sound portfolio, which means that it is non-speculative. And so if all your investments are short-term, I think it's inherently speculative because you're speculating that rates are going to go up. Otherwise, why would we want to have so much money short-term? Just like if someone, on the other hand, was keeping all their investments very long-term, say, well, in my opinion, they're speculating that rates are going to go down, because otherwise, why would they not want to have anything come back in the next several years and be able to reinvest that, at whatever those rates might be? And so, for your personal funds, I'd say you can do whatever you like, of course, but for public funds, we're generally, going back to safety, liquidity, and yield, and then safety, there's a subsection there, subsection B, that talks about market risk, aka interest rate risk, which is the kind of what we're talking about here. So I absolutely sympathize. That's a common feeling. Any investor that was active in 2020 and 2021, when rates were below 0.5%, that was painful. That was historically low. The 5-year U.S. Treasury rate has averaged, I believe, about 2.34% over the past 20 years. So that just puts it under 0.5% into some perspective. But again, perspective changes so fast. When you have the 1-year rate at 0.04%, you have the 5-year rate at 0.19. I'm not sure anybody was expecting that we'd see a federal funds rate, 5.5% years after. And so there's just a lot of, probably some of the most extreme moves I've seen in the bond market within a 5-year period of time, to go from such low levels to such high levels. And perspective changes really fast. I'd say before Iran, the Iran war, whatever you want to call it, Operation Epic Fury, the 5-year treasury rate was getting down to 3.5% after being up in the fours for years, as the market was getting ready for federal funds rate cuts. We had some weakness with the labor market going to back to the end of last year, and that narrative has kind of quickly changed. As we see the price of oil going up, and I don't want to turn this into a whole market thing, but just to point out how fast that narrative changes. It is easy to, in hindsight, look back and say, well, surely this is what we should have done, or this is, based on XYZ. But the for public funds, you just want to be as keep everything as non-speculative as possible, and that goes back to bond laddering. I can't think of a better strategy than bond laddering for reducing the inherent speculative nature for term investments, you know, going out really far, going really short.
Yeah. Chairman, I just want to say thank you, Chris, because for people that listen, and they do, I think your explanation really makes it easy for people to understand the complexity of trying to invest public funds and retain just the safety of how we do that and what we're allowed to do. So thank you for putting that in layman's terms for everyone. I appreciate it.
Can I make a comment also?
Sure, absolutely.
Any time that we do have an investment with Chris, we usually do a conference call. He shows us two or three different options that would fit within our portfolio, and then we decide which one we want to go with. So he never pressures us to say, well, this is the one you really need to go with. He does not do that. He allows us to make that decision.
Yep. And Chairman, just a comment then truly for what Chris said, that there's no one, well, you're the sole controller of those funds. So really the accountability partner would be this policy that comes before the board to look at and then review what it is that the earnings are doing and meet like this. So I appreciate, I didn't really know what to expect, but this is a good process. And I inherently think that 3 years is probably long, and now it's been like 13.
Right.
And so to get caught up and update the policy, I'm glad we're doing that. We have the need for that in many areas across the county just to keep policy current.
Yes.
So directly to the treasurer, you're comfortable with what's proposed?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
And Chairman, there's no action item on this today, I guess.
No.
Yeah.
We're just having the discussion.
We're just talking about it.
Just talking about, because government moves quickly. Not really.
Yes. Yes, we are. Yes, we are one.
Oh, yeah. We're the government, and we're here to help.
All right. Any other questions or comments before we close?
Oh, I appreciate everyone being here. Thank you, Chris, for being online and your patience.
Yes.
And Chairman, I move that we adjourn. Thank you.
Second.
Yeah.
Motion's been made and seconded for adjournment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
One other fine comment?
Did you have something
no,
else?
No, I did not.
Oh, it looked like you were trying to say something.
She was trying to tell me I called her the wrong name. I called her Tracy again.
She's trying to say, see ya.
Yeah.
Aye, aye.
Thank you, Chris.
You're an aye, aye.
Yeah.
You bet.
Thanks, guys.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you. Motion's unanimous. We are adjourned. Thank you.
Okay.